Om Shanti. So may I ask those who are sitting at the back to come to the front. Those at the back, you can please come down to the front area. You can even occupy the couch at the front. So today we have Jyoti Bai. I have to get my notes. Sorry. So happy Holi to everyone. I hope you all had a colorful morning. I took my color. I told them to put it in the pocket, not on my head. So today, after a long time, we have been able to get Jyoti Bai to come on the stage and to share with us his experience. He is and came into Ghana in 1982 and came into the center in 1983, so he's been a center Niwasi for practically all of his BK life. Currently he runs the center in South Malaysia near Singapore. And, I have known him for a long time. We came to Gyan and we'll come to Madhuban together. And he has always been kind and soft and compassionate, except that it has progressively become more quiet and more sweet, I would say, over the years. While that is so, I have always been surprised that together with that, he runs an engineering firm. So this is separate from the fact that he runs the center. And this engineering firm is a very hard-nosed industry, you know, making parts and engineering parts and all of that. And I never quite understood how such a soft, kind person runs this industry. But anyway, he has seemed to have accomplished both in that doing the engineering of this material and still being the center coordinator, center Niwasi, center in charge and supporting Baba's children. So hopefully he will share with us some of his stories. His topic is transforming wasteful into powerful, I think, or something like that. Something like that, but transforming waste into powerful. So we're really happy to welcome the very kind and senior Jyoti Bai. Om Shanti.
Om Shanti. Om Shanti. Om Shanti. That will finish all waste and we can go back. So does waste ever stop? So when we came to Baba, we conquered the five vices quite easily to become Brahmins. But to conquer waste, it is a lifelong process. Until the last day of your life too, there will be waste of some kind. So, what to do? Enjoy the waste. Yeah? I mean, waste helps you to be alert that your mission is not accomplished yet. As long as there is waste, you know that you still have to make effort. So otherwise we may become slack. So waste is a very good companion to keep. Not that you keep it, but it will keep you. So, Many things can happen if we continue to harbor waste thoughts. I usually tell a story of what happened to me by keeping waste thoughts. Real story. And this happened in October 2012, right after the NCCC retreat. I collapsed in Shantivan, outside Shantivan's gate, and then I was taken to the hospital, to the trauma center. So when I came into consciousness, I've never been to a hospital, I've never taken medicine, I've never seen a doctor, and here I was in a hospital. At first I thought it was a dream. Then when I came out to my senses, then I found that these white clothes were no longer white, but it was light blue. And then the doctor that I know, Dr. Satish Gupta, was in front of me. And still I thought it was a dream. And Dr. Satish Gupta jokingly said, "Welcome to a retreat." I told him, "I've just come out of a retreat." So that is business kind of a retreat, but this is the real retreat. Still I couldn't understand what he was speaking. And I asked, "Really, why am I here?" Then I knew I was in hospital, not even in hospital, but in an ICU with tubes. He said, "You have had a massive heart attack." Still, I thought there must be something wrong with the diagnosis. Don't accept. He said, "Yes, you have. We have done all the tests and it indicates there are many blocked arteries and he says the source of that is waste thoughts. But everyone, because I'm very compassionate, so I listen to everybody's problems. I did not know how to give it to the seniors or to Baba, and I kept it within my heart. So how dangerous it is, waste thoughts. Then only I realized that it is not a small matter to get even small things in your heart. So this is why I've been asked to share on this topic, because I'm quite an expert in keeping these things in me. Yeah, all of us are. So he... I did not have the financial means to go to Ahmedabad for an angiogram and angioplasty. So he says, "I've got an alternative for you. I can heal you without having to go through all those procedures." So he had developed a program called three-dimensional healthcare. And he says there are three levels of health: spiritual, mental, and then physical. So all illnesses starts in the mind. And then only it translates to the body. So what happens in the mind is waste thoughts. So if the waste thoughts are not dealt with, then they will manifest into a physical illness. So he says, "I'll teach you how to cure you of your waste thoughts." So my treatment for 16 days in the hospital was to, every day one psychotherapist will come and sit beside me, waiting for me to open my heart and get out all the waste. But I said, I'm a yogi. So who is this psychotherapist to come and talk to me? The ego is very strong, thinking that we are so experts in the field of meditation and yoga, and we can solve all our problems. So for the first 2-3 days, I refused to say anything to her. But she will still come and sit beside me, waiting for me to say something. I couldn't get rid of her because she was assigned by the doctor to sit beside me and wait till I open up. So, but in that process, I was actually thinking that this could be real, that I've heard so many things of Brahmins coming and telling me this and that, how they have been ill-treated by the seniors. Always it is that case. When you assume the seat of power, then you abuse that power. So instead of being compassionate, you give more sorrow. And these sorrows somehow will come to me. And said, yes, sir. Yes, I've heard a lot. Even when I share it with seniors, they're not finding a solution for it. And so it is still with me. So the medicine was very simple. That giving sorrow is, or taking sorrow, is a two-way process. You only take what you give. Sometimes you take first and then you give later. Sometimes you take first and then give later. So this is a process that goes on in every Brahmin's lives, because we have come out of the gross. But the process of becoming a Brahmin is to become perfect. That means all the impurities that are in the soul has to be dealt with. So that is why they have festivals like this Holi, to say past is past and to put a full stop. Easy to say past is past, but to put a full stop is extremely difficult. So we have a lot of knowledge, but it is only in theory. We can give a good class, everything we can do, but when the problem comes, we don't know how to deal with it. So all these issues that come in our relationship with Brahmin is very useful. So it still says that you have not learned how to put a full stop. You have not still learned how to say past is past. So until that is learned, these situations will come and can cause even your death. That was where I was at. I could have died. If on that day, instead of walking out of the Shantivan gate, if I had gone into my room to sleep, then I would not be here. So Baba said, no, you don't go to sleep. You go and take your clothes from the tailor and then go to sleep. So sometimes, Baba is also very compassionate. Because he always tell you to do things that if you are subtly able to catch, then the right things happen in the right place, that your life is saved. Because Baba needs each one of us who are in this path. He can only accomplish his mission with us, with our help. This is the only time in the whole cycle that God needs our help. It's very desperate. So if I realize, then He will always keep me, He will put you to the maximum test. It's not that He will simply save you. But if He simply saves us, we will not realize And then we will take on more and more waste along the way, which is not going to be useful to us, nor is it going to be useful in the task that He wants to accomplish. So He is not a person who will help you just like that. He will push you to the limits, and when you say that's it, then He gives you help. So, Brahmin life is a very beautiful life if we know how to deal with this waste that will come even on the last day of your life. Guaranteed. Even when you are about to leave your body, plenty of waste, all that you have not cleared will come to you. Guaranteed. And we have to clear all that and then only leave this body. So, don't you think it is a very beautiful life? If I have knowledge, and if I have transformed every waste that comes in my life into a power, then it is this power that will help me in the final moments. Not only it will help me, but I will be able to help many others out of their dilemma. So I must have complete faith in myself. I must have complete faith in the Dharma. And most of all, I must have complete faith in God that He will help me to sail through this and go to the other side where there won't be any more waste, where there will only be happiness. So it is this waste that comes in our life that makes us powerful. She is my teacher. She is telling me that you have not become perfect yet. So I have to give you papers to pass. So it is better to fail now than at the end, isn't it? So if I get angry or upset or disturbed, it doesn't matter. I know that I have to still take more power. I have to transform the waste into a power. Sometimes I need the power of patience, sometimes the power of tolerance, sometimes the power of acceptance. So the waste helps me to develop whichever power that is still lacking in me. So after passing, then you must say thank you to waste. Then what she will do? She will change her form and come back to test you again. So Maya is also as clever as Baba. She is also as knowledgeful as Baba. She knows all about me because she has been living with me for 63 lives. So she knows everything that is still weak within me. So she also wants you to pass. She also wants to take leave from you for 2,500 years and then come back to you again as your companion. So which means that she is also my best friend. As much as Baba is my best friend, she is also my best friend because she has been my companion for 2,500 years. So she also does not like to let me go so easily. She also likes me to see me becoming perfect. So she will keep on giving you test papers. So the more responsibilities I shoulder in this Brahmin life, the more challenges there will be. So sometimes Brahmin says, if I stay all by myself, I will be very peaceful and happy. Is it the right thing to do? No. So you're denying yourself of sitting for papers and passing. So you must always find companions who are most difficult. Make friends with them. So they will be teaching you many things, isn't it? And they will also be learning many things from you. It's always two ways. Someone is a teacher and you are a student. And if you pass, then they will learn that from you, that it's not good for me to be like this. If I'm able to take, because why they are doing that is mainly because they don't have the power. They have knowledge, but they don't have the power to behave the way that Baba wants them to behave. So our life should be not theoretical, but it should become practical. In every situation, that situation is offering me an opportunity to put the theory that Baba has taught us in the form of knowledge into application. And then when I put something, the knowledge, into application, it becomes a power. So power always stays with you. Knowledge, sometimes we only realize after we have failed in a situation. So every one of us who have taken a Brahmin life, Baba has not chosen us out of blind sight, because Baba can see through every soul from its beginning, middle to end. And He does not see what we are at the moment, but He sees us in our perfect form. Seeing that only He has selected us. So, if Baba has selected me, means He has seen my horoscope, isn't it? Simply He didn't select. He knows that I was a victorious soul. And seeing that only He has selected us. And then He uses different specialities that we have already come with in the field of service. You see, Brother Vijay and Sister Celia, if you ask me to play that role, I will not play, because it will give me a lot of tension. So many things you have to remember. So even if it is offered to me, usually I will say, give it to the person who enjoys doing that. So even the service that we take should not be that it is going to give me name and fame. That's not why we do service. I'm doing that service because I love that. And so when you do something out of love, there is no need for any preparation. It will come naturally from you, and you will be in remembrance of Baba. And so there is no tension. So whatever I am speaking, I actually never thought what I wanted to speak today. I usually try to prepare, listening to some previous classes and all that. But nothing remains in my intellect because I don't remember anything. Sometimes I even forget my name. I don't. But I forget many Brahmins' names. Even though I know them well, but it my recall system is very poor, so I know that I should not do anything that is going to stress me. So I like to do something that I would enjoy, and I don't have even the habit that why was I not given, I'm so senior in this knowledge, these classes were not given to me. Even that I don't have. I prefer to sit on one of those chairs. So many, many waste thoughts come because we have expectations. That I have done so much, no appreciation was given. So waste thoughts can come from the more senior you are in this knowledge, the more wasteful thoughts you can have. So when you see other senior Brahmins moving ahead and gaining a lot of recognition, so it can create jealousy. Jealousy is one of the main form of waste thoughts that come to senior Brahmins. So being knowledgeful of all this will actually help me a long way. So to know, I must know about Maya as much as Maya knows about me. I must know that she is constantly changing her form. So sometimes Maya will come in a very royal form. She will praise you. But even before the breath is out, she will also deflate me. Maya is so clever. She doesn't like to waste breath. So if someone is coming, I should be able to see why they are coming. First they will have to lift you up, isn't it? When you're off guard, then they will say something that will can deflate you almost immediately. So to be cautious of all this, my aim in this Brahmin life is that why I have come to God is because I know the full cycle. I know we are at the end of a cycle and we are to begin again. So that focus should always be there, that I want to reach my state of perfection. So this aim you should not deviate from. So then your life will be always one of rising. So if you are climbing Mount Everest to the highest peak, so my God should not, I should not look this side, I should not look that side. My vision should be only on my perfect self. Then it'll be a very wonderful life. It'll be always rising, rising and rising. People may not see that but you can see for yourself. What people see or don't see does not matter. Because they can only see what you are doing in a visible way. But what you're doing in an invisible way is not visible to anyone, so they can't see you. You say, this brother has been here for 42 years, he doesn't do anything, he just sits, goes, sleep, reads Murti. That's what I do. I have the art of delegating all the responsibilities to various hands, and I'm always carefree. So sometimes they wonder, his brother is doing anything, not doing anything, but seems to be getting praises. So all of us have some speciality. So we need to recognize that speciality that we have. Nobody needs to tell us anything that to make us feel good. But if I'm using my speciality, then automatically I will feel good and be in my seat of self-respect, isn't it? So it's very essential in this Brahmin life to sit on the seat of my self-respect. And that can only happen when I know my specialities. So I always see myself like being part of a tree. That most suits you. See, a tree has a root system, then it has a trunk, and then it has branches, then it has leaves. So everything is functional in the tree, isn't it? Even the leaves are very functional because without them, photosynthesis cannot take place. So whether you want to be the leaf, whether you want to be the flower, whether you want to be the fruit, or whether you want to be just the stem that connects all these leaves together, or do you want to become the trunk, or you want to go underground and be the root. So which is the most important part of a tree? The root, isn't it? And nobody sees what the roots are doing. But it is working day and night to take the nutrients from the ground and send it into every branch of the tree, isn't it? And so I found a spot in the root. Because I was one of the first to come in Malaysia. So I always felt that I'm very important. And so being in the root and not worrying about what happens to the tree, if the tree gets praised, that praise automatically comes to you also, isn't it? So if you see things in a very unlimited way, you find that your life will be very happy and content. And every Brahmin life should be very happy and content. It is not that we have to go to seniors to get reassurance again and again. They have too many things to do, isn't it? So only when things are beyond my capacity, I would see them. But otherwise, I would sort out things myself. And that gives you more and more confidence that if you can sort out things for yourself, then you can also sort out things for others, isn't it? So you become more useful. So each Brahmin soul must find their position in the tree. Just be there and do what you have to do while being there. Then you will become self-sustained. And if you're self-sustained, then there is no room for waste thoughts. You're happy with your life. And everyone is happy with you. You do what you have to do. And everyone does what they have to do. So it is a learning process. So when I was asked to be in charge, then for some times I thought that I have to look at everyone and see like I was like a policeman. Not a nice duty. So after some time, I became uncomfortable. Whenever they see me, they try to avoid me. Then I know that I'm not playing my role well. So then it is better that I police myself. So if I do everything according to Srimad, and just be the example, and whoever wants to follow that can follow, and whoever wants to follow it at a later point in time can also follow that. So then the main thing that is in a center is that everyone must be happy and comfortable doing what they want to do. Even if it is not fully according to Srimad, it doesn't really matter. So this is the art that I have developed, that everyone must be relaxed. So in the beginning when I'm around, they are avoiding me. Then I realized that I'm being a policeman, and that's not a good job to be in Brahmin life. Just be the sample and let others see that what a beautiful life it creates for you when you do everything according to Srimad. Then Srimad actually gives you the power to live this life. So I still got a lot of time. Maybe you all can ask questions, I've run out. So we can make this a very beautiful life. I don't have to battle with the vices. Don't have to battle with the waste. Then what does Baba say if I'm still battling? You will still go to heaven, but you will come into second class heaven where Rama and Sita is, and Rama and Sita is always shown with a bow and arrow, isn't it? That means they are still battling with waste thoughts. So if still I'm struggling with waste thoughts, then that's where I'm going to be. And if you don't mind, it is also okay. It's better than the copper age, isn't it? But all of us have the ambition that we want to be in the golden age. So I have to transform every waste that comes into a power. And by the end of that lifespan, I would have transformed all the waste into power. That means automatically I qualify to come into the first kingdom, isn't it? So, I must be very ambitious, but not competitive. I should not be inspired by seeing that someone who has come later than me going faster than me. That creates competition. So in competition there is always, sometimes you want to pull someone down so that you can be ahead. So we should not use all the techniques that we have used in the Copper Nine Age. I should only be a source of inspiration, but I should not, if anybody is seeing me, becomes jealous, means that something that I'm doing is not right. So all the techniques that we would use in the Confluence Age has to be very, very royal. If someone wants to move ahead because they have some speciality, I should empower them. Even if it means that they are going to go ahead of you, but you are not going to be left behind because you are excelling in your own specialities. And you have only helped them to excel in their own speciality. So being with Baba has a very big heart, and he wants every one of us to go to Golden Age, and I should also have the same heart as big as his. So if I have accommodated his love, because Baba's love is unlimited, and if our love is limited, then I will not allow anyone to rise beyond me. If I have unlimited love, then I will want everyone to rise to their heights, because each one of us is rising only to our own perfect self, which means we are not in competition with anyone. And my perfect self is mine, isn't it? So I can rise to that if my focus is clear. And I will be happy seeing everyone rising to their perfect self. And this is how Baba sees. And my vision of everyone should be the same as how Baba sees. Then there is no more waste thoughts. If I've understood this well, then another Brahmin cannot be a source of your waste thoughts. I'm happy they are rising. I'm happy I'm rising. I'm happy everyone is rising. So waste thoughts that comes from jealousy, competition, won't exist. So if we can see things like this, then there is no question of waste thoughts. Until such time, if my vision is not the same as Baba's vision, if my vision is still lokic, then it is through that waste thoughts can come. Is it possible? Possible. Otherwise, why did we take up this Brahmin life? To become a deity, isn't it? So Baba has not made any mistakes in selecting us. So I must have full faith that Baba has made the right choice of making me a Brahmin. Because we are one of those 84 birth souls who belong to the first dynasty. Even though we may be number wise, because there's 900,000, so of course it will be number wise, but we are still part of that very elite group of souls. We are the parents of the whole world. So not only do we benefit Brahmins, but we have to benefit all souls of the world. So I must see my ancestry, that we are the original parents of the whole human civilization. So this is how unlimited Baba wants us to be, like he is unlimited. Everyone accepts God, isn't it? So everyone accepts God. If I have also become an ancestor soul, then they will also recognize me, isn't it? But not everyone has the fortune of making this direct connection with God. Only Brahmin souls have this gift of making this direct connection with God. So how fortunate we are. So should we not share this fortune with the rest of the world who will not be able to make a direct connection? They will make connections with us. And this is why on the path of devotion, our memorials are created in the temples. And they are still worshipping me even now. So now I must make my worship-worthy form a practical reality. So whoever sees me, if I am keeping the consciousness that I am the ancestor soul, I am the worship-worthy soul, then they will look at me and they will be able to take something from me without even they knowing my peaceful nature, my compassionate nature, my loveful nature. They will take something from me. So when they are taking something from you, then you will feel that energy flow, that something is going from you and empowering them. So Baba has to fill you, isn't it? So remembrance becomes natural. Because there is a flow of energy. So God also does not just give you energy, but He sees something is going out, so that energy from Him will also flow through you. So the more you begin to see that you have a duty to give to the whole world, and you are sharing your energy, then Baba will also be filling you, and remembrance will become natural. There's no struggle in your Brahmin life. You just have to be, and everything will be happening in a very natural way. So this Brahmin life will be actually even more enjoyable than the golden aged life. Golden aged life, we are not giving or taking. We're just spending what we have accumulated in this confluence aged life. From 16 celestial degrees complete, we become 14, 12, 8, and then almost empty at the end. So it's only giving, giving, giving. I mean spending, spending, spending. But this is the life in which we are accumulating from 2 degrees, 3 degrees when we come as Brahmins to 16 degrees full. So it is a life of accomplishment. It is a life of attainment. It is a life of contentment. And you can feel that. So every Brahmin soul must reach this state and enjoy this Brahmin life amidst all the challenges that are around us. Is it possible? Yes. So if it makes it possible, and of course it will make me happy, and it will make Baba even more happy, isn't it? That his mission is being accomplished. So I came at a time in 82 when we had the opportunity to, Baba would be sitting on a chair like this, and we will be sitting on the ground, and then Baba would give us drishti. He would spend about 5 minutes, 6 minutes with each one of us. So in the beginning when I came in 82, this service has just started in Malaysia, and they said God was teaching here. It was very difficult for me to accept. But yet, it was curiosity that made me a Brahmin. Because I wanted to know if really God does exist. So I had formulated a few questions that I want to ask. So when we came in the beginning, there was only about 20, 30 double foreigners. And so Brother Nive would organize a meeting with us one day before meeting Bab Dada. And then when it came to my turn, I said, I have a question. When God comes, do you all have an equipment to measure His coming? And Brother Nive, when he heard this question, he went beyond sound. He didn't answer me. I was thinking that maybe I've asked the wrong type of question. It's a question of lack of faith. That this brother has come here and he doesn't seem to have faith. And he didn't answer me. He went through the whole group and then Om Shanti. But a little bit troubled, because when I was in school, I was in a Christian school, so I used to attend the scripture classes, and the master who was in that class asked, do you all have any questions? Then I put up my hand and said, who is God and where is He? The master got very upset. He says, "You troublemaker, get out of this class." Then I said, "I'm in a similar situation." Only he didn't say anything. So what he had done was to give this message to Baba, that this child will come in front of you and you have to answer him. So Baba gave me a very long drishti. Then I was thinking that why he's staring at me. I didn't know it was drishti. Then slowly I was beginning to experience something that was an energy. And it was an energy of love. And I was feeling that. Then I recognized that I am actually the measuring instrument. It was so intense. And then I also had the thought that if he is God, he should tell me the first blessing that I have received when I came into this Brahmin world. And it was said that you are the shining star of my eyes. And then by the drishti itself, I was convinced that this energy cannot come from a human source. It must definitely be coming from God. And I was very convinced. And then he opened his mouth and said that, "You are the shining star of my eyes." So that was like a thunderbolt. I said, how on earth that I had this thought 1 year ago and he's answering me. So I recognized instantly that this was definitely God. And so I thought that when I go back, then I must spread this message that God really has come. And unless I'm convinced, then it is not possible to convince any others, isn't it? So Baba knows the whole horoscope of you. Every deep secrets that you have, also he knows. There was another secret that I was having within me. I was already 35, not married yet. And I'm waiting for someone to say that they love me. No one would take that courage. And then at the end of it, Baba gave again vibrations of love. And then he said, "I love you." So then everything became clear why I had waited this long. And my life was like sealed, that now it is like I have to get married to God, that I have to become his bride and he is my bridegroom. So even when I was going back to Malaysia, I said, "Now, what's the point of living with your parents? Why not I live in the center?" When I went to the center and I said, "Can I stay here for a couple of weeks?" And then Dr. Nirmala, who was in charge of us, said, "Yes, he can." And after 2 weeks, I said, "Can I stay here permanently?" And the permission also came that I can. So I'm 42 years in Gan, but 41 years in the center. So it was such a... So it is such a beautiful life. I mean, being in the center is not like actually going to your auntie's home. The maximum challenges come in a center. Not only from within you, but from everyone who comes to the center. Everyone's challenge is your challenge. So it gives you so much opportunities to harness power from Baba to solve not only you going into waste, but even helping people out to come out of waste. So it is a very, very, what shall I say, a very beautiful place, very opportunistic place to be in, because so many challenges, everybody's challenge is your challenge. everybody's waste is your waste, and if you help to clear them, you're actually even helping to clear yourself off. So there's never a dull moment living in a center. There are so many types of movies, so many actors coming in front of you. So my time is coming up. So it's a very beautiful life.
Om Shanti, brother. Okay, so what I understand is, sure, waste thoughts will come, right? And then it can be our own waste thoughts, plus when others come and tell their problems to us. Okay, first my waste thoughts will come, I have to always change it to, transform it to useful, or I must transform it, or I must forget it, or how do I go about it? My waste thoughts.
So the moment you receive something, you give it to Baba.
Give it to Baba. Mm. Okay.
And then Baba will give you the power to deal with that.
To live with it. Okay. Mm. So when others are giving also, I give it to Baba. We cannot stop them. They can get offended.
Yes.
Isn't it?
Huh? So you receive it.
I will receive it. And then?
And channel it to Baba.
Channel it to Baba.
And then sometimes you also take help of seniors. And then you will be able to solve it for yourself and help them to also solve.
Actually, these are very small waste thoughts. It's not like too big to go to and disturb seniors daily. Daily. So how do we cannot say there is a day, we can live a life without waste thoughts, isn't it? Cannot that? Sure, there will be.
And the waste thoughts actually help you to be alert.
Alert. Okay. Om Shanti.
Because you're seeing it, not that when it comes and wrestles with you, then it is very difficult. If I can see the waste thoughts coming, then I deflect that waste thought to Baba.
To Baba. Okay. Mm. Instead of struggling and fighting
instead
and becoming
of struggling with it.
Warrior. But how long it will stay with us, that depends on.
Depends. The mastery will come gradually, and then it'll
because
become
it doesn't
natural.
Go off instantly. For example,
I will not even see it as a waste thought. Because if learning, someone is coming with a waste thought, it is they want a solution, isn't it? They're not coming to trouble me.
Trouble me.
So I see it that way.
Okay.
You didn't share much about your engineering firm. How did you apply Baba's gyan?
That's another story. That happened at a time when, because in foreign countries, we also, because to sustain the center, we also have to be a major contributor to the finance of the centers. So we have to have a job, and a well-paid job as well. So, I used to work for a company, and it took good care of me, it paid me well, it gave me a lot of time to do Baba service. But a time came when the owner of the company sold the company, and I did not have the privilege of giving more time for Baba service because they wanted me to spend more time at the workplace. So I was not happy that I told Baba that you are not helping me anymore. How can I help you? If you have to rush early in the morning before even the mudli finishes, it doesn't make sense, isn't it? So then finally I resigned and I was forced into business. Not that I liked business. Baba's business is different from a worldly business. But I could see that there was no possibility of being in this job and doing justice for Baba's service. So I had to leave, or they wanted me to leave, but my pay was too much. They just wanted me to leave. So they gave all the difficulties that I would leave. 15 years I'd worked for the company, and all my people were already well trained, so they did not need me. So I had to go, not knowing what I would do. So then I asked Dr. Nirmala, who is responsible for us, what should I do? So then she said, since you are quite experienced and a lot of people know you, maybe it's time you start on your own. So I started. So one thing to another thing, suddenly I saw myself having a company with 7-8 people working with equipment. Everything was there. And jobs were coming in. And the workers were so skilled that whatever we produced had top quality. So I was in business. Not that I was a businessman by nature. But Baba needed me to be successful in my financial life so that I can continue to serve Baba financially and with time and specialities. This is how I became a businessman. I'm a very innocent businessman. So the customers will always ask me to quote a price, and I would quote and then say, Jyoti, can you give us another 10-15% discount? And because they also need to secure that business if they are to give you that business. So they tell me honestly that to secure that business, you have to come down in your price this much. Then we will be able to get the job and pass the job to me, which I need. And when I calculate and still, I'm still making a profit. I said, okay, no problem. So this is how the firm has been continuing from when I was 55, I started the business. And now I'm 75, 76, I'm still running the business. I wanted to sell it off. My staff said, please don't. We will manage the company. You just come once in a way, have a look and see if everything is going well. You don't have to do anything. And I thought, yeah, it's a good idea. Even if you sell a business, even the people who buy the business want you to manage it, which doesn't make any sense. So I said, okay, if that's the deal, let the business run. As long as you all don't run into loss and make me a debtor, I'm fine. As long as I am also getting my salary, everything is fine. So such flexibility you will never find in this world. And so my staff, 7 staffs who are working with me, are very comfortable with me and really want to do the best, that they want to see this company running and they getting their bonus and salaries. And so it is on more or less on autopilot. I can operate it from here also. So such beautiful things happen in Brahmin, all because of your honesty, your fairness, that all these privileges come.